Broadcasting from the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 117.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Level 117 here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Jason Hunt here in studio with Cammie Settle.
Hey.
Maya Aides.
Yo-de-yo.
Curtis Smith.
Hi.
Tim Harvey.
Hello.
Dan Handley.
Hello, hello.
And the official program observers, James and Laura, are here.
Woo-hoo.
Just listening to us, just having it out.
And making faces at us.
It's the mid-season finale of
You know what this
Agents.
Is?
I don't
this
have
is an
out.
In-studio audience.
Mm.
Yay.
Well, that works.
We have viewers before we've even posted.
That works only if they applaud in the right place.
I think they're called listeners, not viewers, although they are viewing.
Give those people a microphone.
But exactly.
The question is would they ever come back?
You know,
if we make them applaud?
If I need, we make them come back?
See,
if I need another ride, then
James is stuck here, so, you know, he doesn't have a choice. The episode tonight, the mid-season finale of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the episode Maveth, which Curtis pointed out is the Hebrew word for death. We had a lot of that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, people died?
People died.
A lot.
People died. And I don't know that it was a comic book death. I think people died.
Well,
they were. I can tell you the main characters.
The ones that Lash got a hold of, they's dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and if they're not, they're kind of wanting to be.
They're wishing they was dead.
Exactly.
They are very.
They're mostly his parts.
So what
all their goo is gone.
Is we will have since this is the mid-season finale for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're also recording this on video, and we're going to post this to YouTube. I think, depending on how it goes,
that could be scary,
to have a little bit because we're experimenting with some different things to get ready for some stuff we're doing next year. So, so we're going to turn it over to our official program recapper.
Oh,
the
yeah.
one with the notes.
Cammie Settle, the one with the notes. And I'm going to sit back and drink my coffee.
Okay, so feel free, team, to chime in at any time. Like we don't always.
We have to digress somehow.
But it has to be
good luck actually doing your job.
Constructive chiming. We have to, you know, angels need to get their wings here. It's got to be constructive chiming.
Don't be misleading.
You got bells?
Okay. So we start out tonight with Planet Purple. This is where Coulson's just waking up, right? They have 6 hours. Fitz and Ward's have 6 hours before the portal opens again, and they. Have
I thought
to go
they
back.
Had 12.
Well, yeah, but we're 6 hours in.
Six hours in.
Gotcha.
Catch up with me, Maya.
We lost 6 hours over the week.
Yes, it's a timey-wimey thing. So, stop pointing.
I'm giving engineering directions
Use
over
your
here.
Words.
You can go ahead.
Point some more.
You down.
Me.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Go ahead.
You go.
You're so distracting.
I know.
This is shiny squirrel. What?
Okay, hang on. Bring her up just a little bit. And bring yours. Bring. She's one. You're three.
Yeah.
You down. Her up.
Got it.
Just a little bit. All right. Go.
Okay. So we're on Planet Purple. Blue. It's blue now, not purple. Sorry, Tim. There goes your alliteration.
That was me.
Oh, okay. There goes your alliteration.
See.
So easily done. So Fitz and Ward's have this kind of standoff. You know, basically, Fitz tells Ward, you know, you're expendable. That's why they sent you. And as they come over this rise on the hill, they actually see this rock formation that looks like the Hydra symbol, which is kind of cool. So they've found what they're looking for. They do find Fitz kind of leads them toward where he knows Will's hideout is, and they find Will. Fitz basically convinces Ward not to kill him. Hey, he's our guide. You know, we're not going to live without him, and we're not going to get to our goal. And one of my favorite lines in here was Fitz says, "Oh yeah, let's go to an alien world and you know summon a hell beast. Why not? You know." And so Fitz is supposed to be the bait, or at least he thinks he's going to be the bait.
No, he was. That was his intended purpose there.
Well, I think it was Ward, honestly. I think Ward was sent to be the bait.
Well, but Ward's plan is to use Fitz
as
bait.
Right.
1,000 years ago into the future, it was written, and that's what's happened.
Yep.
Now.
Exactly.
Because it was written 1,000 years ago in the future.
So before I spoil the whole surprise thing at the end, I'm going to go and talk about Mac as the acting director. And so meanwhile, on the plane, Mac is directing Hunter and Bobby, and he's basically saying, you know, we need to find these Inhumans. They're being sent to the castle. We're gonna go in and storm the castle, right?
Have fun storming the castle.
And,
think it'll work.
You know, using the aqueducts, and there's going to be no gunfire. So, you know, May's all about that anyway, because she can do anything without gunfire. And so they do storm the castle. They find, meanwhile, they turn out the lights of the castle. Gemma escapes with her pointy stick somehow.
Yeah, I'm not sure how she had her pointy stick on her, but that was
well,
cool.
Well, I don't think she wasn't in handcuffs. She had
a zip tie. Yeah.
Yeah. So she used her pointy stick to cut through the zip tie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
like
good thing
you do.
She kept it. Well, yeah. You know, because I have my pointy stick all the time.
Well, that's good to know.
It's all about the leverage.
That's right.
I need to
get
my own pointy stick.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah. No.
We should sell pointy sticks.
No. Right? No.
Sci-fi
you
for me branded.
You could take your eye out with that.
I like them.
Yeah.
Don't put your eye out. Okay, so while all this is happening, Coulson wakes up on the planet. So he's kind of having this this lovely dream where Rosalind is talking to him and says, hey, you know, you need to go now. We need to get up. And, of course, he opens his eyes. There's this skull in front of him. And he sees two or three moons in the sky. And another favorite line tonight was, I'll be damned, Tatooine.
We like that.
Yeah. So he's...
Somehow it just seems a little synergistic. Isn't there some movie coming out here sometime?
I think you're right.
In the near couple
future.
Of weeks?
There's a rumor of such a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been confirmed
The nice
yet.
Thing is that they haven't held the plot for the release of the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Which is new for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, really thankful that they haven't done that.
Half the season goes by, and suddenly a lightsaber appears. Wait a minute!
Yeah, that's right. So Coulson is on the trail of Fitz, and Fitz is on his way to the no-fly zone with Will's help. Whatever the does anybody remember what the no-fly zone was on the planet?
It was where you were most likely to be attacked by the Cthulhu thing, the desert.
Yeah, it's where the storms. The
okay,
storms were
that's
the
where
worst.
They happen.
Yeah,
okay.
And where there's dead bodies and.
And there are no flies.
Right. And but, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they actually are hit by a storm, and Will, during which time Will takes out a couple of the Hydra people and, you know, reduces their numbers. Meanwhile, back at the castle, Gemma has managed to find all of the Inhuman containers, including Andrew, who's in the big containment, you know, box, cask, or whatever.
Yeah, he's in a very different kind of container than the rest of them.
Yeah, it's got windows and everything.
Yep. Well, he's
not
in
goo.
He's in the retrieval box that they've used before to bring Inhumans out of wherever they're at to the Zephyr.
This will come in
so
handy later.
So that's the shield. That's the shield box.
I want to see Winnebago Man try to describe the features of their little box.
That would be fun.
Now if you push this blue button.
Yes. So he convinces Gemma to let him out so he can help. But, you know, she says, well, you know, it's not like you've been a great guy before. But he does eventually let him out, and he kills a few people, but also he kills the rest of the Inhumans.
Yeah.
He was hungry.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens.
He's been, you know, stored in a box. He's a little peckish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he is on a mission, right?
Yeah.
To kill everything around him, basically.
Right. Let's see. So we're back to... Oh, so Simmons escapes, and she finds May, and she says, hey, by the way, Andrew's out, and he's, you know, he's here, and I saw him.
He saved my life.
He saved my life, and, she's kind of hoping that they'll be able to go back and save him, and May actually sticks to the plan. She says, nope, it's not the mission, you know. Get in the car. You're grounded. And let's see. Oh, yeah. So they get back to the plane, but May is missing. So we don't know what happened to her at that point. So did she go back? She goes back and finds that Andrew's
I don't think that was
humans.
Back to the plane. I think that was to where they were. They're like
oh, yeah,
what they
the,
were holding.
In the castle.
Yeah.
You're right.
The part of the castle that they had taken over.
That's right. Okay. Oh. Another great moment was when the Inhumans came in to save the day. This is the part of the team that had been just recently volunteered to help, mm-hmm. right?
The only two that Lash hasn't
killed. Yeah, so there's Link, and the other guy's name is...
Well,
that's not his name, but we can't think what it is.
The guy that bends metal.
See, metal melty guy.
I was thinking cannon fodder. I was expecting him to die this episode.
I know, right? Because we don't know his name.
It's like,
this is Agent O.
Well, Agent O was played by Alice Eve.
It's pronounced O.
Yeah. But one of the great moments is that, you know, he's of course this metal bender, metal melter kind of guy.
So and he's
metal.
New to his
Yeah,
his
he's just not
powers.
Quite has a command over this thing or remembers that he does this stuff. And he jumps in front of these bullets and basically they melt before they hit him. And, you know, his comment was, hey, I'm bulletproof.
And he was like pointing everybody, look, did you see that? Did you see? Look at me.
And it was kind of cool.
It was cool.
Because not only is he jumping in front of these bullets to save Daisy...
Forgetting that he can
not
stop
them. Not knowing. Well, he doesn't know.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't know anything about what he can do yet,
exactly.
really. I mean,
yeah.
he's just got
it was
basic...
an instinctual...
Exactly.
Save somebody.
So he's a hero.
Yes, he is, in more ways than one.
Joey Gutierrez.
Thank
and that
you.
Was kind of cool. That
Juan Pablo Rada.
The effect when it melted.
Which one's
and they just stuck to him.
Yeah.
Joey Gutierrez is the character name.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's not listed on IMDb for this episode.
Oh,
isn't that lovely?
He even had a speaking part.
I was pretty sure he was going to die.
He made it out, didn't he?
He was still
there at the end,
well,
right?
He was young, he was inexperienced, he was, you know, optimistic and hopeful. I've been watching too much, you know,
Walking Dead,
which is clearly a sign that you're going to die. If you're,
no red shirt, no guarantees.
The slightest
wrong thing.
A bit of hope.
Wrong
His will be the first soul harvested by the Desert Cthulhu.
Well, actually.
That's possible.
Not the first. Speaking of which, Gemma is convinced that this Desert Cthulhu has caused the destruction on the planet.
Which Will kind of hinted, implied very strongly. That was his theory from when she was there with him.
Right.
Yeah. The original Will.
Right. Yes.
Will Mark.
Well, the real Will.
Say that three times fast.
No.
Danger okay. Will.
That.
Yes.
We have real Will and we have Danger Will. Danger Will.
Danger Will. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, back on the planet. We've got Coulson now. Accompanying Ward at gunpoint.
Yeah, after shooting him twice.
Well, you know, you got to keep the guy in check, right?
Yeah.
And Ward starts monologuing. And why Coulson lets him monologue as long as he does, I'll never know. Other than that maybe they just needed to fill some space.
It kind of felt a little hand to the writer there, but it was just one of these. Let's just let him go.
Granting him his last words.
Well,
let's
I
let
was
him
expecting
stall
him
until he gets overtaken by Desert Cthulhu.
Well, I don't know. I was expecting I was expecting Coulson to lose his patience.
I was too. Well, he did sort of.
I was going to say you thought
he
kept
did
his
shoot
patience.
It twice.
Well, I mean, I was expecting him to shoot Ward in the head right in the middle of that monologue.
Yeah, I was too. I kind of was hoping.
I was like,
for
okay,
it,
Ward's going to die right now. And
No.
He's going to shoot him now.
Yeah, we're all going anytime.
It was like it went too long. That particular piece went too long.
I'm not going to call that hand of the writer though because
it was swinging on the vines with the monkeys.
at least it was true to his character because he has always been one to monologue. Whenever he got the chance,
but it went too long.
But why would Coulson let it happen?
Well, okay, I think...
Because the writers told him to.
It did feel like it went on a little bit long, but it was also a very odd scene for the fact that all of a sudden we have Ward talking about this like grand destiny. He's having a grand destiny moment. And I'm watching this going, wait a minute. At what point did this grand destiny moment happen? He's like, I've seen this thing.
Yeah.
You haven't seen anything. You've seen the alien planet. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well,
and, okay,
yeah,
you're
I mean,
on an alien
totally,
planet. That is kind
totally
of nifty. But,
switched
but all of a sudden,
right.
he's just like this, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've been where you are. Yeah. And revenge is not the answer.
He has
had closure's
no,
not the
no
answer.
Vision of Desert Cthulhu at that point.
Right.
No. He hasn't seen him. All he's seen, I mean, he's seen Will. But he hasn't seen any aliens.
But
he hasn't seen any manifestation of anything. Maybe the tower that looks like Hydra?
It felt kind of like the psychotic break moment. It kind of, I mean, but the thing is that we either should have had it a lot earlier.
Trigger.
We should have had a lot earlier or given more to it this episode.
He's had a lot of psychotic break moments.
Well, Ward is also...
We saw the payoff, but we didn't see a setup. There should have been something where he either sees something or thinks he sees something or something. There should
maybe
have been
it was
some,
cut.
Ward
some
also
shot. Maybe they
lies.
Shot it and it was cut.
Maybe.
And he's Ward also lies, and he could have just been trying to play Coulson.
That's true.
Well, but even then, we didn't get the payoff for that. Yeah. And so
that's
it's either...
That's also true.
You know, it's...
There was information in that monologue that the audience needed that you know, that's how they decided to do it.
You mean it is about closure?
I have no idea what he was talking about. I think I faded out
blah,
about
blah,
a quarter
blah,
of the way
grand
in.
Plan. Yeah.
I think some of it was about closure for Ward, just, you know, that last face off with Coulson, but there was a lot of that monologue that just felt
forced.
Like any villain monologue.
Out there.
Well,
yeah.
And unfortunately, it's
disjointed.
The rest of the episode clipped along at a pace that it felt like it hit that part and just slowed down.
Really. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they hit a wall right there.
Let and the record show, my notes say, why is Coulson not killing Ward? I wrote it down right
because
here.
He hadn't realized he needed his killing hand.
I had
yet.
Time to write that. That's right.
Well, because. You can't do it yet.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, right. Yeah. I know.
You have to kill. You have to kill at the critical moment.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So meanwhile, back.
I already know that they're going to fix. They're going to fix. Oh, sorry. Finish up because I'm about to do spoilers before your thing.
That's okay. You can spoil any time.
No, we're already into spoilers.
Yeah, we've already spoiled.
Well, but he means.
Yeah, but he'll comment on something that you haven't revealed yet. So go ahead and
go.
Then hold your tongue. Okay. So back in the castle, Matt gives an order. And he says he's going to stick around while everybody else gets out free and safe. And, of course, they all start second-guessing
completely
the plan.
Not understanding the concept of director.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody sits there and goes, no, we're not going. We're not leaving.
Right.
And he has to...
Hey, everybody, I've got a better idea.
Yeah exactly. Never good to change a plan in the middle. So, Mac actually did a great job tonight of taking control of that director seat and saying, did you not understand... Get the hell out. So Daisy stays with him because she can keep the portal open. And she also gives a really lame second excuse, which was, and I'm your partner. But
when did they become partners?
I didn't know. I was, well, they've was been sent surprised. Out. They were the
they've
ones.
They've been working together, but I mean, I'd never thought that it was any kind of an official, you two are partners and Bobby and Hunter are partners.
Well,
or,
it's, you know,
well apparently
now.
It's she not thought Adam it 12. Was. Apparently she thought it was and he agreed. So there you go.
That's right.
Also, he's not stupid, and having a superpowered person standing next to you who can keep the portal open a little bit longer than the technology can is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting the sense that I think we pretty much all agree this is not a well-crafted script this week.
Well, there are pieces of it.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff of that had to happen. It jumped around a lot.
It was a good one with its niggles.
Yeah.
Everything on the niggles. Planet, with the exception of Ward's I have a vision moment.
Yep. The grand plan.
Clipped along.
Yeah. It's true. It did.
And Fitz had some good moments too.
Oh, Fitz had all the good moments.
Oh yeah, he had some great moments.
Yeah, Fitz had some good moments.
He's a little scrapper, that dude.
He is.
Yeah.
So and that comes when Fitz realizes that Will is not Will now. Anymore.
Yes.
He's Desert Cthulhu.
Yes.
And that Will has been dead this whole time.
Well, he died.
Dominus.
Right, saving Jedi.
In that attack right at the end when Fitz retrieved Simmons,
right.
That's when Will died.
Interesting, the Marvel Wikia, the synopsis for this episode is not up, but the fact that Will is it, it's actually called it, is already in there. So I'm not entirely sure.
Oh,
it was like, was this spoiled before the episode? Is
possibly.
That? And
somebody
Will did not survive. I mean, you know, pretty much after Jenna left, the thing killed
Will
him.
Was
it.
Was
that was it.
It.
Somebody realized he got tagged.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's it.
That was all. And so at the very end, the portal is closing, and Will has shot a flare through the back of Will's body, which is now housing.
No,
Death.
Fitz
well,
got a...
Coulson shot
Fitz.
Him first.
Sorry, did I say
Fitz and Will were having their little fisticuffs.
Sorry. Yes.
Fisticuffs. And
nice.
See what I did.
Yeah.
And Coulson shoots Will in the back. Uh-huh. Will gets up because, you know.
Yeah.
Desert Cthulhu.
Yeah, Desert Cthulhu. So Fitz empties the rest of the gun into Will's back.
Yes.
Nice grouping.
And he gets up again.
Of course.
Because, you know.
Yeah, like you do. Mm-hmm. So then Fitz gets the flare gun.
Right.
Because it's Chekhov's flare gun from the first episode.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And shoots Will Cthulhu in the back.
Right.
And burns him up.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, Coulson and Ward... Bum, bum, bum.
Decide to have a discussion.
Now, yes.
He's now Will done.
We had this discussion earlier about the puns.
It's my thing, though.
I need a large, heavy object.
How about a robot hand?
Yeah. I'm going to have to... Oh, yeah, well... I didn't bring my killing hand.
Speaking of killing hands, that's what Coulson uses on Ward.
Yeah, there's to put
him down. It kind of surprised me that he actually did it.
It didn't surprise me.
It surprised me that he took so long.
Yeah.
Once he had him down
on the ground, it still took him a while to.
Oh well.
Well, I mean, he's crushing.
Yeah, this
I meant
chest cavity. So
just there were crunchy noises and everything.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to make it hurt.
It was. Oochie.
I mean, it's kind of the. I mean,
I think he did more than make it hurt.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't hurt for that long, and after that, there wasn't any pain at all.
Mm-hmm.
Until.
That's really the hardest part about killing is when they're finally dead, you get no more pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
It just ruins the whole
thing. And
I've read in books about that.
I've heard stories. Coulson was going to kill him one of two ways. It was either going to be the completely nonchalant, just bang, it's done. Coulson keeps moving. It's going to be one of those killings where it's just,
So that's what it does.
Yeah. So you're in the way. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or it was going to be the kind of thing where, in fact, I thought this was actually shorter than I was expecting to get from him.
He didn't have a lot of time.
Torture Ward a little bit more.
Well, I think it wouldn't be like, you know, official torture. I mean, it wouldn't be like, you know, strapped to a chair and something. But it would be a longer, more drawn out kind of just beat him to death kind of thing. I could have seen Coulson do that because
he's not happy.
Well, to some degree, this is kind of the culmination of the first 2.5 seasons of the show.
Mm-hmm.
To this, I mean, this is the whole. It's the betrayal. It's, you know, Hydra represented. You know, he represents Hydra, who has broken so many things, broken so much of Coulson's life. There's just a lot of history and pain there that quite frankly, you know, Rosalind was the push too far.
Right.
So I thought there was a real chance that we could actually get Coulson going, you know, messy on this. And this was, I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it is like a PG-13 or 14 show, right?
Yeah, but you know, you can get messy a little bit.
Lash got messy as it was.
I think that's one of
Will,
the reasons.
Will was the end of Danger. Will was messy.
Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why they moved it back an hour, so they could do more
right.
messy.
Right.
Because you know at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, or you know how they officially say it, 8 Eastern, 7 Central.
Remember when they set that character on fire.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It was season one.
Yeah, that's true.
And we were all fairly surprised considering what time it was on that it was like, whoa, that's actually.
But we never
really
saw anything like that again in the first season.
Right.
They probably took some heat for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably went.
Literally took heat for it.
Shut up. Shut your hole. Your pie hole.
Did I not request a heavy object? Did I not say?
Well, you're sitting there with a laptop in front of you.
I'm planning on using the laptop later.
Just brain him.
You keep him coming.
So,
okay, let's go on.
But there's more to the story.
The coda, yes, at the end.
We got our heroes get back.
Yes.
Heroes get back using the retrieval box.
Mm-hmm. As of course
that Andrew was kept in.
May follows through on her orders and
blows boom, boom.
Opens up the whoop ass on the castle.
Blows it up.
Yep, she does. She shoots it full of holes. And at the same time, they escape somehow.
Retrieval box.
Yes.
Through the Winnebago Elevation Master 5000.
Well,
it's the great class elevator.
I'm thinking they got that from Grandpa Max.
Is it Wonkavator?
Tennyson.
Mm.
You know, from Ben 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to explain that to some people.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
haven't seen that in a while.
That's a Tennyson brand retrieval box.
Okay.
And of course, when it gets back into the plane, we have
slow motion. We have the slow motion. We have the slow motion emotion having their hair offs
and hugs and kisses.
Daisy comes back out, and she goes to Mac. No, she goes to Lincoln. She goes to Lincoln. Who comes out next?
Bobby and Hunter.
Bobby and Hunter come out.
And we see Gemma going toward the window of the...
Completely blows Fitz off, just like whatever.
Well, Fitz hasn't come out yet.
She didn't see him.
Well, he came out the side.
Well, she goes to the window as he's coming around the side.
So she didn't see him come out.
She didn't see him.
But she's, you know, she's going to look for... She's going to look for both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she, when she looks in there, neither one of them is in there.
Nobody there.
And yeah, she failed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fitz comes out.
She's not very good at looking for things.
Yep.
Fitz and Gemma pair off.
And there are tears.
Only it's not a happy pairing off.
Right.
Yep.
And Coulson gets
a hug.
Coulson and May gets a hug.
Well,
there was nobody left. Come on.
It's awful tidy that, you know, Fitz has got his girlfriend back, kind of. But he's going to have to, like, wait a little bit because now she's got to mourn, and it's just...
I hate it when that happens.
It's just the brand new pain in the butt for those two.
It is always difficult when you have to have the conversation that starts with, look...
I killed him.
Your boyfriend was possessed by an alien, inhuman monster.
Right.
Here's what I'm wondering.
I'm afraid I had to set him on
and
fire.
And he's really the only witness to that.
Well, no, Coulson saw it.
Coulson
didn't see firsthand.
Well, Coulson
that's
saw
true. Coulson didn't see that Cthulhu or whatever
fighting.
Was in
but
there.
But yeah, he saw Will was trying to kill Fitz, though.
Yeah, and he did see that Will got up after, like, being emptied.
That was one of those things you just have to ask a question about.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't think he's got a full picture of what he actually saw. I think that little look they exchanged at the end was more about what Coulson did.
It could be about both
because
Fitz isn't a killer, and Coulson just murdered somebody.
He's a killer now.
but there's a difference between killing and murdering.
Yeah, no, okay.
So, you're right. It's a technicality, but you know.
You're right. But he let's not have any illusions.
Fitz
here.
Killed.
Yeah.
Coulson murdered.
Yeah. That's right. Coulson definitely murdered.
Yep.
And then they shared a meaningful glance. And then we get to the end.
Well, I mean, Coulson works for a government agency, so
how did Gideon get out of that castle?
Oh, well, he's a spy too, so you know.
How did Gideon get out of that castle?
Well, his people take care of him.
I think he's a chicken shit.
You can't say that on this show.
We'll cut me out. Beep.
He slipped out when the power went out. There we go.
I think that he sent his team back in to make things right, and he took off.
Well, you know, he's important. And, you know, he has
extremely
to be...
Extremely important.
Without him, a famous actor.
Yeah, it's Powers Booth.
That's right.
You don't waste Powers Booth.
You've got a couple more episodes on the contract.
There you have it.
Well, they took out Bill Paxton.
Well, remember that scene where he's like...
Bill Paxton got a death scene, though.
There's some stuff going down. You probably ought to leave the building. And he's like... And he does. He tells the guys, you got 15 minutes to breach that thing. But, you know, he's going to be at a remove.
Yeah, I mean...
So he's leaving.
I'm going to go wait in the car.
Yeah,
and you guys,
I'll keep it running.
You guys come join me when you're done.
Just do my bidding, and
so he's driving down the street, driving down the road, happy as a clam because he got away. He's alive,
and who should show up?
Yeah,
but Ward Zombie,
Zombie Ward,
Cthulhu Ward,
Cthulhu Ward,
bum bum bum, and that's where we end the mid season.
But somehow Gideon knows that's who he's looking at.
Well, and I think from his reaction. That was the whole plan.
That was
the whole plan.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
sure
went
that was
exactly
the plan.
As it
was
supposed
to. Ward, you know, because with Ward and all of his training, now becomes the vessel for Hydra Cthulhu God, Desert Cthulhu thing. Maybe Gideon figures that's the perfect combination, and now we've got our lead, our fearless leader. Wait a minute.
I really thought we were done with Ward.
Yeah, I mean, I did too.
There will never be a day when we're done with Ward.
He's the parasite of this show.
I hate to say that about the actor, but I'd kind of gotten tired of him.
I had too.
Maybe this will be
this before the episode was over.
Yes, you did.
Well, this is how you get rid of Ward and keep the actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
maybe.
I'm with Maya. I think that we have outlived Ward in this story. Any iteration of him. I was getting tired of the crazy shtick.
Is how you get rid of Ward and keep the actor.
I know.
So
but
now he's a.
Now he's
something.
A.
He's it.
He's now a he's centuries it. Old. Inhuman monster wearing a Ward suit.
Do you think that Brett Dalton has the skill to deliver that kind of a character?
Well, let's
see.
We're
going to find out.
We thought he was a terrible actor for half a season, remember? And then he sat there and went, oh, yeah, by the way, I've been acting like a terrible actor the entire first half of the season.
I don't know.
Surprise!
I'm not sure he's got it
in. You know, he got interesting for a while, and then he started becoming a little more cardboard again.
Which is why you get to get rid of the character.
Yeah, let's hope we don't have cardboard.
Okay, then there's been a problem with writing him. I mean, if that's really
so.
True,
okay,
then why couldn't they be more creative in what they gave him?
Well, because they kind of ran out of things for Ward to be. Because, well, look, when Ward was a crazy agent on his own, he was interesting.
Yeah, that was his most interesting part,
but
yes.
When you put him back in with not even
the rest of
not
Hydra.
Even Hydra version one.
What? No.
You're gonna get the current version of you know barely stumbling along. We got to figure out something, Hydra. He's not really a team player anymore.
No, right. It didn't make sense for him to be in charge of a team of people.
And we talked about this last week. Is that the whole only you can go through the portal and do this for us, Ward?
Right.
And I'm like, well, okay. What? No.
Yeah.
So
not somebody that says.
He was doing some things because the writers told
him.
Right.
So Cthulhu Ward, I'm interested to see what happens because you could be completely right. He could be crappy as Cthulhu Ward, but
we'll find out.
I would love to see him just be like, I'm the devil. Sweet.
I don't know. I just don't think he's got it in him.
Well, we'll
find
out.
He does have
Cthulhu in him now.
That's right. He has Cthulhu in him.
Yeah.
And Cthulhu, and he's got
it'll be the same actor with the voice of James Earl Jones.
Well, he does have
a little reverb.
He does have a mechanical hand now.
Coulson, he's carried
Coulson's.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to say it was kind of actually cool that when Coulson killed him.
Yeah.
He took off the hand that he killed him with and just
left it.
Just dropped on him.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he left his hair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All right. So with that, we are going to take a break. We're going to refill coffee mugs. We are going to sacrifice Dan on the altar of bad puns, and we will.
It's
be
in the
back.
Car. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prepare the scrolls.
We will be back with more Level 117 right after this. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Until you unsubscribe in a sudden but inevitable betrayal.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre. Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. Sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Hi, this is Jason Hunt, and if you're one of the dedicated listeners for this show, first of all, thank you. Second, you are sharing with others, are you not? And you should be aware by now, we have many shows as part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Our Marvel discussion on Level 117, the DC chat on the Rogues Gallery, Sci-Fi for Chicks talking about various topics, which we also do in mixed company on the Echo Chamber, and H2O, which is our one-on-one discussion between Mr. Harvey and myself. Sci-Fi for Me Radio is more than one show, and we'd like to invite you to join us for all of it, or at least try it out and see what you think. And also check out Sci-Fi for Me TV. That's our YouTube channel where we have interviews, convention panel video, all part of giving you the most bang for your buck. Oh yeah, wait, no, it's free. So check it out. Sci-Fi for Me Radio and Sci-Fi for Me TV, all part of sci-fi4me.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
And the audience has applauded. All right, back on Level 117, Jason Hunt here along with Cammie Settle,
hey.
Maya Aides,
yeah.
Tim Harvey,
mm-hmm.
Curtis Smith,
hi.
Dan Hanley,
buns.
Hey, Tim wasn't.
That's not what we agreed to.
Tim was not kidding. He really had an altar out in his car.
Doesn't everybody have a sacrificial altar out in there?
I have a knife.
Car?
All right, so this is the analysis portion of the show. If you want to share your thoughts on what your theories and speculations and idle musings and such about this episode or any of the rest of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter when it comes in January, you can send us an email, level1187@scififorme.com, or you can call our hotline, area code 573-42-SCIFI. And we also would like to invite you to check out our DC Comics podcast. Those of you who are Marvel fans, you probably at least have a healthy respect for the Distinguished Competition. We've got a show for them as well. It's called Rogues Gallery. You can find that over on iTunes. Okay, so analysis. What do we think about the episode tonight? It was a little disjointed. Good in some parts. A few quibbles and niggles.
I think for the most part it was a really good episode. It did have a few niggles, but that was about it.
I would have loved to have spent a lot more time watching what's his name murder all the Inhumans than have a big old monologue
Good point. And we didn't get to see any of that.
Well. And the
special
question,
effects cost too much.
Well, there's that. Plus, there's the question of where Andrew is, because
yes.
We didn't see him after that.
That's right.
We saw dead bodies and body parts, and
splatters,
drippy liquid everywhere.
Goop.
But we didn't
yes.
we didn't see him after that. So,
right.
Yeah, and I kind of thought we'd get him on Planet Blue. I almost thought we'd end up with a fate. You know the. Him and the creature.
Yeah, like a monster mm-hmm. face-off.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
that's kind of what I was expecting.
Like yeah. Lazarus facing himself in the antimatter universe.
Well, the
only without the really
Mortal Kombat forever
bad writing of that episode.
Well, the monster is no longer on that planet, so we might still get that, just not
that's
on the
true.
Other planet.
Yeah, good
that's
point.
Possible.
So here's my question on that. If the portal is closing right now, Coulson, we've got to go.
How do
you
uh-huh. make
right?
it there?
Right.
And
they're
you've
like
got
300 yards away.
Dead Will,
right.
You know, fried crispy Will over here.
Yep.
You've got crushed chest Ward back over here.
Mm-hmm.
You're 100, about
right.
100 yards apart.
Right.
Neither one of them are moving very well, I would expect, at this
at
point.
All.
And the portal is closing.
Mm-hmm.
Has been for several seconds now.
So yeah. We're allowing for 30 or 40 seconds from the time that May fired the missiles at the
mm-hmm.
castle
right.
for Fitz and Coulson to get through the portal.
Right. Get to it.
For
and it.
San Cthulhu to take over Ward's body and go through the portal without being seen, mind you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody yep. else has now gotten into the Tennyson Winnebago retrieval unit.
Right.
And they're flying up through the air. That's an awful lot of stuff to happen in such a teeny amount of time.
Well, they spent
yeah.
too much time on the monologue, so they had to cut something.
Yeah, but I, look, the edit suggested a time jump, a small time jump. It was like, okay, you guys don't need to be hanging around for the rest of this, so we'll just edit and then just jump to the thing. I think
we escaped
it was,
somehow.
They
didn't even
did
write it in
favor.
The script. They escaped somehow. Just do it.
They did us a favor by not showing us the details. We didn't need to know the details. We knew
right.
they were coming out anyway.
Well, there's two things.
But if they'd have showed us, if they'd have gone through it all, then we'd know yep. what's up with each character. And
would
they
have
don't
taken
want
way
to
too long, too.
No, you got two things. One, you've got the fact that they're in the portal room, and they have to run down the long hallway and make the turn and do whatever it is to get to you know, the Winnebago
right.
escape craft. All right, so you've got that period of time, right?
Right.
So the other thing is it's a comic book TV show. And applying direct logic and time and no.
Yeah, yeah but this show is usually better about that.
Yeah,
I mean,
but this is the villain
is,
showing up dramatically at the end of the episode.
This is not Walking Dead time. This is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents
there
of S.H.I.E.L.D. does pretty
there
well
is,
with this
there
stuff.
Is no accurate time in The Walking Dead.
Well,
so
listen.
But
that's the thing I was alluding to or earlier. I mean, this script just felt a little disjointed from the kind of the vibe and the feel of the rest of the series. It was like somebody brand new wrote it. because they had an idea for a story, and so they just plugged it in there like they would do. Like,
although it's been directed, it was directed by Kevin Tankeran, Marissa's brother, who's directed episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. before, and he's directed episodes of Supergirl, so he knows about pacing for superhero shows.
I don't think it's the direction or the script, because aside from the sense that they had to do a lot in the script, right? So it felt a little overstuffed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the edit.
Yeah.
And
the monologue could have been shorter.
The monologue could have been shorter, and I don't know that we necessarily needed to have the reveal of where Andrew went, but he just disappears from the story.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot of, well, where did he go?
Well,
it's kind of important where he went. He's a very large guy what goes around ripping people's hearts out.
Well, and we know,
should probably try and keep track of that.
We know he got out, but there should be something.
Well, we know he got out, but we don't know if he survived the storming of the castle.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. There should be at least a shot somewhere that either raises the question of where he went or answers the question of where he went. And we didn't get either one of those things. Like you said, Tim, he just got dropped.
I don't think we're on the need to know.
Definitely a loose end.
Well, yeah, especially considering you've got an actor like Blair Underwood, they don't just disappear from the script.
No,
right?
He'll be back.
You know,
he'll
be back. It's like, hang on, wait a minute. Didn't we get a fairly decent-sized name to be on the show? Yeah.
Right.
What happened to
him? How much does he cost?
Exactly.
Yeah. Here's a question about Lash, because he's been hunting inhumans, right? And killing these people. He kills some of the bad guys, too, but he's killing inhumans on a purposeful mission.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If he comes up against Ward, will he recognize him as a target?
I don't know. Probably not, because I don't think that Desert Cthulhu was an inhuman.
Oh yeah, that's the implication. Is that
is he?
They implied that.
The backstory.
Okay.
here's a question that
Or could he be Kree?
Well, here's the question I have for everybody: is that I'm looking at. Well, not right now. No, I'm looking at IMDb, but the backstory that we have, according to the Marvel Wikia, is that the thing on the planet, and they imply this to a point in the Hydra legends, that this was an inhuman from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This was an ancient inhuman from Earth that long ago was exiled by the inhumans because he was too powerful and too dangerous to this other realm, right? They didn't know it was another planet. They just kicked him out. Did everybody know this watching the TV show?
Well, I knew that part, but I didn't get the implication that he was an inhuman so much as maybe
might get that story later, Tim.
We
got it when Gideon spelled out all of the tale of Ward's destiny a couple of episodes ago.
Sort of, but not really.
We didn't get exactly what the desert it is.
Yeah, well, we still don't know. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the official, you know, we have the legend of what Hydra says. Mm-hmm.
The legend of it.
A giant octopus, man. That's all there was in the world.
A Desert Cthulhu and...
Just a gigantic...
What if he's not Kree? Bulbous. What if he's...
Skeletor.
Well, the implication is inhuman.
He can't be a...
That's what they're implying. But now, they could change that, but the implication is he's from here.
Yeah.
And that the whole point was to bring him back. Because he was powerful and dangerous, and he will rule the world, and we will be his minions, and da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yeah, you know, part of that doesn't work for me.
Standard, terrible, not very well-thought villain plotting.
Yeah, because seriously, if you're the top of the food chain in the villain group, right, why would you want to bring in somebody else that's higher on the food chain?
Here's the funny thing. We keep referring him to Cthulhu, Desert Cthulhu.
Right.
But if you look at any of these things, it's like, we're going to bring back the Dark Lord, fill in the blank of which Dark Lord, right?
Right.
Yeah.
If you ever look at that plan,
it's
like, we're going to bring back the thing that's going to end the world and consume the souls, but we will be okay for... reasons, and this is the same plan.
Because of our loyalty.
Hydra has the same plan, and it's kind of like, if it's that powerful and hungry,
right?
And everyone you sent through has essentially been treated as a sacrifice, why do you think it's going to look at you and go,
I like you.
You look like lunch.
This, by the way, Tim, this, by the way, is how I imagine you in traffic. I should maybe turn left.
Why isn't he using his signal?
No.
Considering, I'm not making fun.
Considering that a good chunk of my day is driving for a living, it's a lot more like, get the bloody stuff. Yeah. Really? Do you know how to drive? Do you know? Okay, turn signals are a thing. Turn signals are a thing!
But
that's a little more accurate.
I
could have sworn that when Malik was given the background, he basically not just implied, but actually pretty much spelled out that he was the first of the Inhumans. The way I understood it.
I don't know that he's the first of the Inhumans.
Or
that would be.
Or one
wouldn't that be Black Bolt?
Well, no, Black Bolt. Black Bolt is king, but he's not the first.
Yes, he's just making these names up. Right?
He's like the Optimus Prime
along
of the
universes. Sure.
How many universes are we in there?
Here's the interesting thing: is that of course we've got in what.
Alternate
how many years now we got the Inhumans movies?
3.
Okay,
No, 4. 2020. Has it been moved back to 2020?
I thought it was 2019.
All right, 2020. 3 to 4 years from now, we've got the Inhumans movie. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Which has the if you even know
and everything will be explained then. Exactly. You can just hang on.
We're in a building
years.
Year. Right?
I've heard that with the Royals. It finally did pay off.
And the reason we're not using mutants is because
illegal reasons.
Different
for real life reasons.
So they decided to basically use Inhumans to stand in for mutants in the MCU.
Yes.
Right. So until Fox sits there and goes, all right,
we want
some of that groovy Marvel
close.
Money.
I think they're close.
Yeah, they probably are. But so if you even know who the Inhumans are before this, all right, and a vast majority of people watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Marvel movies, a vast majority of those folks aren't comic book fans.
No,
they're general public people. Right?
I still have no idea who these people are supposed to be or where their story goes.
Okay, well, we're going to try and basically put us in a holding pattern where we can't talk about the actual big name characters from the comics because they got their own movie coming out in 3 to 4 years.
Right.
So in the meantime,
mum's the word.
We got to twiddle our storytelling thumbs here to not talk about Medusa or Black Bolt or Maximus or any of these.
Well, you can. Yeah, but you can mention them.
I can. I'm a geek.
But you can mention them.
I'm a nerd. I can give you backstories.
But you can
mention
them in show, and you can start laying the groundwork because, like you said, there are a lot of people. Nobody knows who the Inhumans are.
Actually, no, you can't because none of the characters that are on the show who are Inhumans right now have any of this knowledge.
Oh, but
they
got to find some kind of ancient script or something.
They did, and it was her mom.
That's right.
As Daisy's mom, and she was evil.
And she's dead.
And she's dead-ish.
She's very dead.
No, she
but didn't
dead.
She have books and such?
Dead-ish.
But you've got...
Okay, but the last time somebody opened a book of hers, they got a whole face full of dust and
but
turned
this
into...
This is when you bring Eddie McClintock back to be Exposition Man.
Right.
And he can lay the whole thing out because he's Kree, he knows what's going on, and he can explain it to everybody.
But here's the thing. There's only so much you can talk about. Leader of the Inhumans, Black Bolt. Going to be played by
Vin Diesel's going to do it.
And Riddick will eventually show up and put on the Black Bolt and then have no dialogue the rest of the movie.
Christina Hendricks as Medusa?
I would cast Christina Hendricks as Medusa because that would be awesome.
Yeah. Make it happen, Internet.
That would be
amazing. Let's talk about Tatooine for a second.
Yeah.
Planet Blue.
Do we think...
No.
That this is the same planet that Star-Lord
can't be
excavated?
It could be. No, I think it could be.
How?
Well, the city
where's all the geothermal activity that was messing his spaceship
it's
up?
Over
on
there
a different
where
part
that,
of the planet.
Yeah, it's over there where that one of those cities was.
Do you see any of that going on?
Well,
we saw a glimpse of it.
It's not that
way,
planet.
Way, way, way far
nine
away.
Nine cities on this
planet.
Right.
It's not that planet.
You don't think it's okay? Curtis doesn't think it's the same one.
The city can be powered by geothermals.
But the thing is, we only spent 3 minutes, 5 minutes on that planet in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep.
And enough time to do some dancing.
Yeah. Well
it's
there's Curtis. You know, there's always time for dancing.
That's right.
So, but I mean, I don't think it's connected. I think that I think we're going to come back to this planet at some point. The multiple cities are going to be a deal. This is where I think if we're going to do a little side trip away from the Inhuman storylines, so we don't tread water for 3 years, we can go there. It's a very long time.
Do some exploring.
Do some, yeah, they'll be, and they'll be some sort of thing, and it's like, oh, and here's the story. And,
maybe they'll find the ancient scrolls there.
Maybe they'll find a lovely lady.
Okay.
It would have been super cool,
you
though.
You saw just... what happened to Dan with the puns, okay?
That wasn't a pun.
It's close enough.
It would have been so...
Somebody, put my coffee?
Somebody fetching my altar.
I'm rubbing off on people. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
Okay. It would have been super cool, though, if when we saw that little panorama view of the city there like if we were witnessing the moment where Star-Lord was making his escape and they were
really far away. That would have been
very cool.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Almost as
lost
good as if we kept padding and then Howard the Duck was sitting on one of the rocks.
Next to Adam Warlock's cocoon.
And the camera just keeps going. There's not even like an acknowledgement.
That'll be in the special edition. Right? Special edition. Throw it in there digitally afterwards.
That's right.
And with that, even with the sandstorms and everything, of course, Howard still has his martini with the cigar.
Oh, sure.
Of course.
And right, sand in it.
So this episode, it really did kind of feel like an end. It didn't feel very much like there was a lot left hanging, other than Zombie Ward.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, you know, in the past, Andrew. Yeah, well, Andrew doesn't really feel like a cliffhanger so much as just a dropped thread.
Right.
Yeah.
But... Agreed. In other seasons, the mid-season finale has left like three or four or five things like, oh, what's going to happen?
All right, but
this time it didn't.
But remember, we are in season three. In the first and second seasons, the show was tied into movies.
Yeah.
This one's going to be too.
For ill.
3 to 4 years from now?
No. Because the back half of this goes into Civil War.
But the thing is that the back half goes into Civil War, as opposed to the first half of the last two seasons. We were like, okay, something's got to happen in the movies so that we can advance our own story, because we're dragging this out forever.
So we close out this half.
Yeah.
And on its own arc, second half is Civil War. Right. Okay.
Well,
all right. Well, that makes a certain amount of sense.
Actually, even though it did answer some of those questions, the thing with Zombie Ward being there and Andrew going off, that type of thing, to me, it just seemed like another cliffhanger episode. Not really any sort of a closure type of thing.
Not a special episode, just a regular episode.
To me, it just seemed like, I'm expecting the next episode next week. You know,
the things that they did resolve were all the relationship conflicts. So. You've got everybody pairing off and the big hugs, you know, with everybody saved and we're all relieved. And so Fitz and Simmons now are resolved because there's no third party, right?
Right.
You've got
maybe
Daisy and Link. They're pretty much a thing now.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's
all happy all around.
Just the way it ended, it felt like it was leading into next week.
Going into another episode.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the thing between Fitz and Simmons, what's going to manifest as the curse between them this go around is going to be either Gemma resenting Fitz for not bringing Will back, or Will feeling guilty that he couldn't bring Fitz he couldn't bring Will back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because at some point it's going to come out that Fitz killed him.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's some question as to whether he was really possessed or not.
Well, see, and I don't think that's going to happen.
No?
Because he's going to say, Will died when you left, and the thing took over. And there's no reason, but there's going to be a worm tongue somewhere. I think
Ward's going to say something to her.
When Ward comes back as Cthulhu Ward, of course he's going to be. But the problem is that.
And I hope he doesn't go back into his Ward monologue.
That's not going to happen. it's going to be a new kind of monologue, because now he's the big bad. And the big bad always has their own special set of monologues, where they talk about how they're going to rule the world.
He said nothing at all. He just showed up and been ominous.
But the thing is that the best part of that is that they usually get into the big giant monologue, and that's when someone like Coulson steps up behind them and shoots them in the back of the head and goes, he was talking too long.
He was talking. See, that's
what
we
were expecting tonight for Ward.
Yeah. I was really hoping that would happen.
But I don't think he's going to say that Will died. Coulson's going to back him up that normal people don't get up when they've been shot that many times.
Right.
And it's going to be fine. The issue is going to be she's going to feel guilty about him dying.
Yeah, about leaving him there.
Then. Mm. And so, but sure. they're going to get together and they're going to be happy. And everything's going to be fine between the two of them. They're not the two to watch. It's going to be Coulson and May, because both of them are coming off of Coulson's, you know, they both have seriously lost someone.
Yeah.
I'm hurting so much. I am too. Let's do it. Yay.
Well, I thought they should hook up since the beginning of the show, but, but they're not going to. They're both going to be angry and wounded.
Well, yeah, they're very likely to be drinking buddies at this point.
Oh yeah,
that's the vibe that I'm getting from them. They're going to be sitting in a bar, miserable in each other's
now
company.
Now, once May finally puts down Andrew, because that's how Andrew's going to go out, is that May's going to be the one to kill him.
Well, either that or he's going to sacrifice himself to take. Which
it'll be a combination of the two.
Yeah,
she will karate him in half.
Yeah, he'll sit there and say, "You have to shoot me."
Okay.
And she will.
All right. Yep. He'll almost kill Ward. Coulson will finish the job, but he'll be seriously wounded. Mm. And so he basically asks May to kill him. That's the prediction for second half of the season resolution. Or if they drag it out into the next season, it'll be the first half of next season.
Yeah. I think so.
And if I'm right, I get a cookie. A big one made of chocolate.
And if you're wrong, what did the rest of us get?
Yeah.
I leave the altar in the car. I don't sacrifice you on the altar necessity.
Has enough blood been spilt for all of us?
Not quite yet. So that wraps up the first half of the season.
Yep.
We've got Agent Carter coming in on January 19th. They've pushed it back a week to make room for the State of the Union address.
Mm-hmm. It's
what
politics.
Don't start.
I'm just politics in general.
I agree.
Okay, so we're moving Agent Carter back. It's going to be a 2-hour episode, and now I've got to wonder about the math, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. second half comes back on March 8th, and we've got how many? We've got 10 episodes of Agent Carter. Is that going to work out to 10 weeks?
Two of them done in the first night.
Right, so between January 19th and March 8th, does that mean we get one new episode every week and there's not going to interrupt them?
To the interwebs.
Well, that would be that'll help. That'll help with the pacing, because every time, and we saw this with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first season, two episodes and then a break and another two episodes and then the Olympics
killer.
And then, this and then, nobody's going to find this show because it's never on. There's no consistency to it. Right. So, and Agent Carter had a little bit of that less.
Well, but it's easier for something. It's oddly enough, it's easier for a shorter series like Carter.
Yeah,
to do than a longer series, because you what?
Oh, I'm just going to mention the first two episodes on the first night. The rest of them just consecutive weeks.
There you go.
In all the way through.
Last one's March 15th.
It's a little easier because your storyline is actually more condensed.
Wait, last one's March 15th.
That's what this says.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter are going to be on the same night, back-to-back?
That's what it's looking at.
No, it's back January 19th. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back March 8th.
Yes,
so that's 2 weeks that they'll overlap.
Yes, that this is going by what IMDb shows, that episode 9 will be on the 8th. Episode 10 will be on the 15th.
I wonder if they'll cross over.
Well, maybe
storyline will be connected on those two episodes, I bet.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Going into Civil War. Okay. Because then all of them are connected into Civil War.
That's a possibility.
I bet you. That's my theory.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
I don't know. I'm shooting blanks so far over on Supergirl, so.
Isn't there a timey-wimey thing going on there?
Like, well, there
no,
is.
No, because you can
you,
have you
had
can have pieces
Hydra back in
the 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
setting this
whatever is going on back then is connected to what's going on now, and it leads into Civil War later.
Fair
maybe.
Enough.
I don't know.
Well, whatever happens, I hope when they get more into the history of Hydra in later episodes, before I get my special card and membership badge.
Which you can buy over at superherostuff.com.
I hope they tell us what the pyramids are for, because I'm pretty sure that's going to end up getting in there, too. They're going to just explain it all through Hydra. So all of it.
One
all
word.
Of it was Hydra.
Aliens.
Aliens did it. Aliens did that.
It's funny. When I saw Constance Zimmer's name on the opening credits, on the title roll this evening,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, okay, how are they doing that? I'm disappointed it was a dream sequence. It does. I don't see any other way they could do it.
That was so sweet, though. That was pretty.
Okay.
It was a total. It was almost a cliche, you know, the way they handled, you know. I mean, how many times have you seen that in the film where somebody's going, wake up, and it's their dead whoever?
Well, yeah. But you know what? It's almost appropriate for Coulson, because he is kind of, he's the vintage guy. He's the geek. He's the guy who would wake up on an alien planet and go, Tatooine.
I loved it.
He's the Star Wars fan. He's the guy with the Captain America playing cards or the collector's cards. So, you know, he's the guy who all this stuff would work for him. So
the nostalgia guy.
So he would be entirely the guy. You know, he's
Lola.
Oddly enough, he's probably a film noir fan. I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
but yeah, so yeah, so yeah, that felt fairly normal to me. But no, it was a touch heavy-handed when the skull was like right there.
I loved it. I was like, well, okay, I'll give you that.
And of course, that was probably Will's skull.
No,
it's not been long enough.
No, because Will was still using his skull, but he just wasn't there.
Oh, that's true. Okay, all right. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I've only had one cup of coffee tonight.
No, you need more coffee.
I need more coffee.
We need a coffee sponsor.
I'm working on that.
Okay.
I've sent emails.
Excellent.
All right. And speaking of which, those of you who are listening to this show, if you enjoy this, if you enjoy what we do here, and you would like to support what we do here, we do have a campaign over at patreon.com. You can find the link on our website, scififorme.com. And it's basically a combination. It's a hybrid between Kickstarter and PBS. So you can pledge a monthly dollar amount to support our efforts here and help us, you know, with resources and equipment and travel and whatever other things what cost money here. I mean, we do what we do anyway, but, you know, if we could do more of it, that would be good. So patreon.com/scififorme. And if you want to connect with us over on social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, Tumblr. And our main site, scififorme.com, where you can find all the latest news headlines. All of the podcasts you can find at iTunes. And you may have to refresh the links on those here in the next few weeks, because we are in the process of switching over to podcasts.com as our host for some of these shows, and we will keep you apprised as to which shows go when. So we want to make sure that you can continue to listen to the show. And as always, we do invite you to share the links with your friends and neighbors, and check out our other podcasts and our video programs over at YouTube. And that's going to do it for us this week. I think we're going to take off the next couple of weeks for holidays and Star Wars. And and then we will be back when Agent Carter comes back on January 19th. We might do one before that, but I think January 19th probably be the next time we record one of these episodes. I want to thank the gang of meddling kids here tonight, Maya Aids.
Good night.
Cammy Settle.
Jinkies.
Curtis Smith.
Thanks.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
Tim Harvey.
And I would have gotten away with it, too.
Just be glad I spared you my worst pun.
You did?
Yes,
you did.
I did.
Don't encourage him.
All right.
Good night, folks.
Yep, that's it. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. We will be back in January.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.